Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
So, Brad, the only people I'll ever listen to about Spider-Man are the genuine experts on Spider-Man that love this podcast. So, Dr. Spidey, for instance, is a Spider-Man expert, and he likes a podcast. Savile speaks to us about Spider-Man all the time, and he loves Spider-Man, he likes a podcast, and he messaged us to say, where are you, when we forgot to do a podcast because we're busy. All these people like Spider-Man. And they're okay with us disrespecting the law. But no, we did get a one-star review because of our disrespect of the law.
No, you're joking.
It's very funny. Or maybe the branding, right, of a Spider-Man history podcast has hurt a few people.
I mean, that's... Right, you can only judge a book by its cover, but that's on them for getting past episode one and going, hold on a minute, this isn't our Spider-Man history podcast.
If you got past the first 5 minutes of the first episode and you thought you were in for like nothing less than a white knuckle ride, then you, my friend, have got the wrong podcast. But no, I was just a bit, how have you fallen into that trap? Anyway, swinging through Spider-Man, Brad. It's not a Spider-Man history. It's a Spider-Man history podcast. This is a Spider-Man history podcast. Because every week, me and you speak about a Spider-Man comic for the very first time. And damn right, we will kick the law in the balls.
As well as Donald Trump.
We didn't meet. Everyone gets one. Everyone gets one. It's not just him.
As far as I'm concerned, it's either all on the table or it's all off the table. You can't have that grey area. I work in the black and whites, man.
In British humour, everyone is a target.
Oh, yeah.
It just so happened he was up first. Anyway.
We welcome many more one-star reviews if that's the case.
You bring them on, and I will get angry about each one. I'll get unreasonably angry about each one.
Oh, speaking about unreasonably, mate, I am sweating my bollocks off right now.
It's hot, but not. It's the worst kind of hot. If you are a listener of this podcast, you'll know we've been struggling with the heat intensely.
It's so humid.
It's not even hot anymore. It's just grey. And the heat is like you imagine the colour grey to be. It's not cold. It's not hot.
No,
it's awful.
That's just the pollution, mate.
It's awful.
But yeah, I'm coming to you live today. I'm looking after my brother's house, so... a different recording studio, but basically everything in his room is just like sheer reflective surfaces. So I'm cooking underneath a blanket right now. I'm legitimately in a blanket fort just so I can get clear vocals.
So that's Brad coming to you live from his brother's house. I'm James. We are swinging through Spider-Man. We have got issue 67 today, and Brad, talk to me about reflective surfaces right now, because I remember how sitting for someone, and I remember these laminate floors being really sticky, right? And I was like, I had the assumption all laminate floors just got really sticky. No, it was like it was a 10-year-old coffee spill.
Oh, that's grim. That's grim as fuck.
It just didn't get cleaned up.
Oh, no.
It just didn't get cleaned up. There was no mold. It was just like, oh, this is a really abrasive floor.
Yeah, you know why there was no mold? Because the footfall every day took that fresh layer of mold clean off.
But you're coming to me live from your brother's. Man, we've got an episode today. It's issue 67. Firstly, apologies for forgetting to do a podcast. Work was really busy. I bought a new car. Brad had his engagement party. It's been a bit of a week.
Yeah, it was a hefty week, man.
Yeah, I've started my driving lessons. It's just been so busy. And look, you're a partner of a businessman. You've got like loads of work to do. It's just all hectic.
Well, on the night that we usually record a podcast, I was working till 1 o'clock in the morning. It's just ridiculously late night. So, yeah, apologies for that.
I forgot Wednesday existed. I'll be completely honest.
Just phased into it.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, then Thursday. Mate. Nothing in between.
Days, time is a construct and days are an illusion.
Speaking of illusions, Brad.
Oh, you're welcome.
Speaking of illusion, you are, wow, you set me up there good and proper. Here comes the home run, issue 67 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Brad, ain't bothering with a recap. All you need to know is Spider-Man chased down Mysterio, the ping pong headed villain. He doesn't have a ping pong ball for an actual head. It's just his mask is like a ping pong ball. It's like half a ping pong ball. Spider-Man chased him down to a secret hideout. There was a little amusement park in the hideout. Spider-Man fell into the trap, got hit with some kind of ray, woke up. Mysterio is big, Spider-Man small, and Spider-Man trapped in this amusement park.
It is the plot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Except it wasn't accidental. This was meant. This is
100% malicious.
Is a Rick Moranis under this, under the mask? Or is it Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh, hot take.
Well, as we know, Mysterio Quentin Beck, whatever his name is, looks exactly like Leonard Nimoy.
Exactly like Leonard Nimoy. There is no distinction between the two.
Well, this issue starts off exactly where we left off. It is Stan Lee and John Romita's production, Artie Simek joining in on the letters and embellished by none other than Jim Mooney. It starts, Brad, with a fist, a massive Mysterio fist coming down to squash Spider-Man. It set the scene. Mysterio big, Spider-Man small.
It's easy to follow.
Yeah, this is it, by the way, for the entire issue.
It's just Mysterio chasing Spider-Man around this miniature theme park.
There's a little bit of a diversion, but honestly, the entire issue is like five minutes. It's 5 minutes of time.
If the diversions of the previous issues are anything to go off, I'm guessing it comes completely out of left wing and ruins the pacing of everything.
No, it's just, it's like, why didn't he just, like, get a big bottle of water and pour it over the table and drown him?
Oh, where's the fun in that? Like, you know Mysterio's got, like, a fucking god complex anyway, so he has to do the whole, like, you know, the old Power Rangers, where a normal-sized guy would get dressed up in a Megazord suit, and then another normal-sized guy would get dressed up in a monster suit, and then they would just sort of wrestle each other in a town for a little while. It was made up of miniature boxes. Like, that's what Mysterio wants to do. Like, he's loving the fact that he's just like, oh, look at me. No, sorry. Oh, look at me, mighty Mysterio, just destroying these paper tiny puny boxes. Look at how powerful I am.
It's like the model village in Hot Fuzz.
It's exactly like that.
But it's not, because that's copyright laws.
Mysterio is bringing these big fists down. Spider-Man is jumping out of the way. That's how we start. That's pretty much how it goes on. So I don't know how long this one's going to be. I honestly think we could be on for the shortest episode ever. But The running length of this podcast will eventually prove me wrong, because no doubt we'll drag 50 minutes out of it.
Oh, we will 100% go off topic and start fun out of a spelling error or some shit.
This is wild. If you can't handle it, get off the ride.
Oh, shit. You know who Spider-Man could bump into in this little episode, considering he's so little?
Don't do it.
Hey, hi, guys. It's me, Shotgun Mike.
And it's me, Fancy Dan. Welcome to our amusement park.
He's instantly KO'd with that big old fist coming out of the sky.
Yeah, he'll be in shock. He'll be like, I thought you guys were dead.
Oh, no, we're definitely still about. Well, the rides are so small we can all get on them.
There's no height restrictions here.
No one left out. No, not imagine, one person.
Imagine being so small that even on a tiny roller coaster, you still get, like, you're still too short on the height limit.
Oh my God. So you can imagine Fancy Dan walking around this amusement park and no one's in it, right? It's just a table on Mysterio's garage. And he goes up to the height restriction. He's still too small for it. So he's looking around like really shiftily, then just adjusts the height limit.
Just crudely drawn on with crayon. That's why Fancy Dan is just nefarious.
Literally, that's a crime. You know, that's health and safety regulations being snapped in half by Fancy Dan. We don't see him in this issue, so I'm presuming he was killed on one of these rides that wasn't monitored at all. We know what happens on unmonitored roller coasters. Your legs get cut off.
Yeah, but then you do get free passes to the amusement park for life. It's like a legitimate
thing. You're assuming that passes on offer to this, like he didn't walk up for free anyway.
Like Mysterio standing outside of his basement, like
roll up, roll up. Extraordinary feats of tiny heights. Yes, be amazed by the tiny waltzes.
And all you hear is this little voice from the amusement park that Mysterio doesn't know is there. Like, I'll keep it up. That's real good. Get me right in the spirit.
just fancy Dan just there at a hot dog stand, just like, wait a minute. There's nobody here.
He's waiting in a queue behind a plastic man.
like the plastic man is just staring at him like soulless eyes.
Hey, it's a bit rude, you know.
And just every time it zooms in onto him a little bit further. Just
no habla English.
Oh.
Well, Spider-Man is fancy Dan size. He's bite size. He's pocket size. Mysterio is just bringing his fists down for a full four pages, to be honest.
I'm telling you, it's just Mysterio just rocking the shit out of his own model.
Yes.
It's just like,
it's okay, I can melt it all back down and turn it back into Fred for my 3D printer.
Thankfully to the flexibility of Meccano, this can be rebuilt quickly.
I hope Meccano is an American product as well, because not only have we went on a big divergent for the last 10 minutes, people might not know what Meccano is.
But the thing is, mate, Meccano, I'd say it's pretty American, because that's the kind of thing where like an American would be like, Lego, that seems pretty gay. Where's the tools? You got to have tools.
Lego's for pussies.
You can keep your German stickle brick block tings. Just give me some good old wrench.
Fucking Spider-Man. His main problem here isn't necessarily Mysterio's fists like blamming on this table. He's obviously has no clue of why he is so small.
Oh, yeah, because he's just woke up. Because in his... The thing is, Spider-Man wouldn't know whether or not if he's small or if Mysterio is huge.
In all honesty, there's a lot of kind of monologue going on from Spider-Man. And I would like to go into it and speak it and, you know, act it out. But it honestly can be summed up as, what the fuck? That's it.
Just WTF on everything.
He's trying to repiece everything. He's like, I was hit by a laser. Now I'm in an amusement park. It was a model. Now I'm small. It's impossible. But my God, there are some big fists coming right at me. So this must be real.
That's
all the time, like, Mysterio is pretty much just laughing at him going,
oh, it's really good. It's really good. You're confused. That's the plan. Yeah, if you knew what was going on, it'd be pointless. And I'd just have to kill you.
Because, you know, it's all about the mystery. You know, Mysterio, it's kind of in my name.
Well, Mysterio does say, quite funnily, what chance has a 6-inch against the mystic might of Mysterio? I was like, it stands a pretty good chance, actually, because we have learnt, thanks to the massive amounts of poor bastards who've done this research, that's actually bigger than average.
Oh, it's been how many minutes? It's been 13 minutes and we got our first dick joke.
Unlucky for some.
Met quota.
Lucky for others.
Lucky if you got 6 inches.
That's exactly how we destroy this Spider-Man lore. But Spider-Man, of course, he is 6 inches tall.
It's not the size of your Spider-Man, it's how you swing the web.
there's too many levels to that one. But again, we're getting onto page 3 or 4 now, and Spider-Man's still going through the same routine. He's saying, oh, it's hopeless. It's actually hopeless, because anytime I try and hit Mysterio, he vanishes, even though I'm like the size of his thumb. He is smashing giant things. He really cannot get to grips with this at all.
See, Mysterio is quite clever with making Spider-Man not actual spider-sized, because have you ever tried to hit a fly as it's swinging through the air with like a newspaper or something?
And the wind turbulence just blows it back.
Exactly. So if Mysterio made Spider-Man actually spider-sized, Spider-Man could just be chilling. He wouldn't have to worry.
Absolutely. It's just... Oh,
but no, he's made him G.I. Joe size.
How frustrating this would be.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculously frustrating.
I can't hit him that hard because I'm so small. But Mysterio just lives it up the whole time. He's saying, you know, I'm toying
with you. This is just a prank. You'll never get it. You're not smart enough. It's just funny for me. I can kill you anytime.
Oh, it's such a neckbeard. He can see through his chrome dome.
Because he keeps swinging his fist, but it's never close enough to kind of hit Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's getting kind of ruffled by it. He's like, okay, that's like a missile coming at me. And Mysterio says, you never know if I'm going to really hit you.
The thing is as well, like, it's kind of gets me about this, is like, I want to know where Mysterio's bought his table from. Because, yeah, he's destroying the miniature theme park, but that table's taking them fists like a champ.
This is real DIY. This is a success.
It's pure Gorilla Tape on the bottom of it.
Yep. As Spider-Man dodges one of Mysterio's kind of a clap movement, he comes together with a big clap to get him a spit-up. Sprat! That's the sound.
Spit-up.
Yeah. He heads towards this carnival tent, Spider-Man. He says, this isn't going to last. I'm not going to keep up. I'm going to get killed. So I'm going to need to find a kind of a small hiding place to gain some time to think. So he heads towards his carnival tent to grab a breather. This was his first mistake, right?
Mm.
Because Mysterio hasn't really been going hard to hit him. Mysterio knew that Spider-Man would be heading into a tent for cover. So a little flick of the switch. Spider-Man's in his tent. Loads of mirrors drop around him.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, no. This is the Hall of Mirrors, of course, if you've never been to a carnival. This is in that film, Us. It's a Hall of Mirrors. Scary. Scary shit. Never like Hall of Mirrors.
But the thing is, as well, is that like if Spider-Man's only 6 inches and these mirrors drop down, they wouldn't be like crystal clear quality like a regular House of Mirrors would have in order to fool you. They would all be like pieces of Tonka toys and stuff. You know, like Fisher-Price, and they'd all have like really terrible, grainy reflections.
We balls wobble and I won't fall down. It's like a kid's toy. But Spider-Man is in a panicked enough state to be really thrown by this.
Man, he's really... It's probably the mixture between the exhaustion and the confusion that's really just managed to break his mind at this point.
Well, Brad, the main problem is that he's more dismayed at the fact that he's walked straight into a trap again.
Well... I'm assuming it's not going to be his last, so he's going to have to buckle up.
Oh, all these mirrors, by the way, they're closing in.
Oh, okay.
And he's sweating. He says, he's screaming. He's actually fully screaming.
It's actually quite a dark panel, isn't it? Everything's getting darker in there. Spider-Man's actually got black drawn on him because he's just covered in shadow.
And his kind of face is elongated, like he's actually fully screaming.
Yeah, fully screaming it, like full caps lock.
If I can't break free, I'm done for. And it's like the trash compactor in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Meanwhile, Aunt May awakes from her slumber in panic. If you remember correctly, last issue, she kind of fainted because Pete was up to his old tricks. Peter Parker, of course, Spider-Man. He was in danger and he was really giving off bad vibes. So she passed out because she was scared. She's just woke up now and she can sense that Peter's in danger. So she's crying out his name. Her roommate, Anna May Watson, comes by, and thankfully the doctor arrives. And what's his name? Dr. Bromwell? He's the moodiest doctor. Dr. Lovecraft.
Yeah, Dr. Lovecraft or Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, he walks up to the door that Peter Parker kicked in last issue because he thought his aunt was in trouble.
Just booted it clean off the hinges, man.
And he doesn't have a good high opinion of Peter Parker anyway.
Well, you wouldn't, because in his eyes, he's the root cause of all of Aunt May's problems. Because she's a sturdy girl up until it comes to Peter.
Yeah, and he turns up to the door, it's kicked in, and he's just thinking to himself, no wonder poor Mrs. Parker's nerves are shot. That footloose nephew.
Kevin Peter Bacon.
Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, dancing through the door.
Been working so hard.
Every time Peter Parker goes to kick a door, it's like, ah! now.
Kick off your aunt's door now. Footloose.
Yeah, and Bob, Dr. Lovecraft Bromwell, whatever his name, his main problem is, well, Peter's never there when he's needed, because of course he's Spider-Man, so he can never be there. But Aunt May, very happy to see the Doctor. The Doctor does the whole thing. You're going to have another panic attack. It might be the end of you. You got tension strain, blah, 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 blah. You are going to die.
I'm sure this is really helping her de-stress.
He says this all the time. He's like, oh, this stress is going to end you, woman.
She couldn't take it any more easy. She does fuck all other than worry about Peter. She literally does nothing else. But the thing is, why is he being like, oh, no, not Peter Parker. This rapscallion of a nephew is just...
This footloose nephew.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, Dr. Lovecraft should be fucking... Like, the fact of the matter is that Aunt May's just gone, oh, I sense that Peter's in danger. And the guy's just literally like, oh, hello. Just walks straight through the door. He's like, waiting outside, just rubbing his hands together, just waiting for that next outcry from Aunt May, just so he can walk in and just be like, you will die. Now here is a prescription which costs $70, as well as my call-out fee, which is $500.
I am on overtime, you know. 1.5 times the normal cash. Thank you, American healthcare. Give me a fucking 1-star review for that as well.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, give me that, son. The door's broke. It's all bad. He's not making anyone feel better. And Aunt May kind of passes out again saying, oh, don't worry, doctor. He's the best nephew in the world. And Dr. Bromwell just gives her shit for it. Like, devoted? He's never here, woman.
Like...
Then he says, it's amazing how she loves that useless teenager. But get to fuck, mate. He just kicked a door off its hinges. He's got one use.
he broke it. He completely kicked a lock off a door in order to save his aunt, who he thought was in trouble. Like, if that's not love and devotion.
Screaming at the TV as well.
Oh, yeah. Just at the TV. You know, it weren't even HD back a day, man. It's like you could see the pixels.
Speaking of screaming, J. Jonah Jameson, the editor of the Daily Bugle, is screaming at his window in impotent rage. He wants to know where Spider-Man is. He wants to know where Mysterio is. Without the two of them, he doesn't have a story. And their big, you know, the advertised clash hasn't happened, Brad. So he hasn't got any news to report on the biggest story in town because both of them are in a fucking garage somewhere.
But even then, if he was to take photos or just be a fly on the wall in that, you'd just hear him say, he'd be like slamming at the table. He'd be like, uh-huh, take that and that. Oh, you don't want any more of this. Uh-huh, I assure you. He's just like, imagine being a fly on the wall whilst this man baby in a garage somewhere just goes 10 rounds with a fucking model theme park. In full costume, may I add.
You know, it's like the CCTV outside of restaurants, and it's not...
it's not
live. It's just, like, keeps jumping.
like 5 frames a second. Oh,
it's just him flipping the table, like, in frames. Then him not searching among the pieces of the amusement park on the floor for Spider-Man.
I kind of got to wonder how big this amusement park actually is. Like, because if Spider-Man's 6 inches, then really, if a table's like 7 foot long, which is like an average for a table to be, that's still not that far to run. Like, if you were Spider-Man, you would be able to see the end of the table. You'd be able to know where to go.
Yeah. I think it's more sort of disconcerting fact that he is just getting battered. There's smoke everywhere. And he's tiny and Mysterio's big.
Ah, I suppose that
was a lot more context, Brad. It's not like he's just in an amusement box staring at the end of the table. Someone's trying to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
And that someone is massive. It's like a giant.
And there's a lot of smoke going about, to be fair.
Yeah, and he doesn't know why this has happened. the first thing that is going to come to his head is not that he's on a table.
I was about to say, you'd have to come to terms with the fact that shrink rays are a thing to begin with.
And that's really hard to kind of digest.
That would be super hard to digest.
Well, Jameson's losing his shit because of all this going on, and no one's able to see it. No reporters can do anything, so he's angry that no one's actually working. So Ned Leeds, kind of the head writer, kind of says, I'll just go outside and, you know, see if I can learn something. And Joe Robertson, the city editor, says, I might try, you know what, we've got to do something, we'll find something out. I'll go ask my friend Captain George Stacey if he's got any new theories, something we can do, anything we can do, just to do something, because the only damn news we report in this city, this massive city, the biggest city in the world probably, is Spider-Man.
Not like there's the Fantastic Four, Daredevil, what other? Punisher, Frank Castle,
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Who else is based in New York? Like, literally, like, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's at least 40% of the Marvel roster is based in New York. At
you
some
could
point
probably
or another.
Even go higher.
I wouldn't want to tempt any more one stars.
Yeah, if you give us a one star review, we'll have to cut you. I can say that because how many minutes are we? 25 minutes. If you're gonna do it, you've already done it. I'll cut you. Well, Robertson calls George Stacey, and we switch back to the scene of the crime as the mirrors close in on Spider-Man.
Pretty tense.
Mysterio drops another clanger on Spider-Man by saying,
"Oh, don't worry, Spider-Man. These walls, you can break them because you're Spider-Man. But maybe you should know that they're poisoned. So if you break them and you know you cut yourself because it's glass, you'll die. That's cool.
They were made out of the finest Chinese Tonka toy glasses, so I can't say that they're poison." But they probably are.
Spider-Man panics. He knows he can get out of it. He's just got to think. He webs the mechanisms to stop the walls moving in.
I just had a thought, like, how powerful did the motors need to be for these mirrors to close in as well? Because have you ever, like, had, like, a really small motor on something, like an RC car, and then it just goes... because it hasn't got the power to do it.
What he did, Brad, was he pulled the mirrors back and let them go.
Okay.
I think that's a solution. You know, like when you pull the little car back and
it
shoots off.
Oh, I'm with you. So it's just
awkward. He kind of pulled the mirrors out, so I expanded them and let them contract like a little toy.
I'm with you.
Spider-Man glues the mechanisms that bringing in these mirrors with his web. It gives him a bit of time. Then he says, oh, there's one last move. Our boy really pulls one here. He webs his hands together, Brad. He webs his hands together. He puts all this web around them. So they're protected. They're cushioned. Then he smashes the mirror.
Clever. Very, very clever.
I'm trying to desperately find a picture, but I forgot to include one. But it's very funny. Just have to imagine it.
I can imagine it. I can imagine how stupid that looks.
It was very funny. He just had two big fists.
I'd like to punch holes in that plan, but that's actually a solid maneuver.
But Mysterio could be lying.
Well, even so, it's best not to take that chance. But you know what is it? You know when you watch movies where they're like, the bad guys wrap like cloth around their hands before they're smashing a window. That's pretty much what he does.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does. Unfortunately, Mysterio saw that one coming.
Oh crap!
Because he knew the only way out was through the mirror.
Okay.
So Spider-Man smashes the mirror, jumps through. Funnily enough, there's a big pool of water
just on the other side of the mirror.
Just on the other side of this mirror. Spider-Man dives through, he's sucked down, the current sucks him down. And then he's now thinking, I'm going to die.
Well,
like I've just jumped headfirst into this and I'm going to die. It sucks him down.
He's essentially going down a plug hole, which we do know is a spider's actual, like, kryptonite.
Yes, for sure.
Pluck holes in newspapers.
Well, he's dragged through. He tries to struggle. Then he realizes, I'm not going to live. And then he thinks to himself, quite weird. This is really weird. He says, if I escape, how can I face life when I'm only 6 inches tall? That's very funny.
That's so grim. That's such a dark thought.
And then he thinks to himself, I've just got to survive this. I've got my superpowers. I've got bigger lung capacity. Just don't fight. Don't waste energy. Let the current do its work. He gets sucked out. He hits an air pocket and he's like, oh my God, I've made it. Another trap.
Oh, straight away. Not even had another trap. To really have that deep breath that he needed.
He takes in that deep breath. He looks up. There's a big pendulum axe swinging towards him.
There's a big boy, that is. Like, it's a goddamn
House
fella.
Of Horrors.
Yeah.
It's for real. It cuts through the water and it's swishing. It goes straight through the water. It's sharp. It's sharp enough to do that. It's got enough weight on it to kind of not be affected by that current. So Spider-Man thinks, I really can't fuck with that blade.
That water resistance. Retain that from science.
What he realizes is as the blade retracts, he can hold onto the blade
clever.
On its sides, get pulled out of the water and the current. And then he does that. He's getting pulled out by the axe and he just starts giving Mysterio loads of shit.
He wouldn't be Spider-Man if he weren't going down quipping.
Yeah, he does say, like, I hope you're still watching because I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna fuck you up.
I'm gonna get in that bowl and rip your nostril hairs out, son.
He quite literally has little man syndrome, like little dog syndrome, like Napoleon.
Like Peter gets back out of all this. He doesn't get turned doesn't get turned normal size. So he's like there later on in the night, like Tinder. I'm definitely 6 foot.
And Mysterio, of course, can't really see what's going on. So he's kind of just quipping back, going,
oh, looks like the blade's coming for you then. Oh, okay, you dealt with that. Okay.
Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
He's okay. Scrambling around looking at his like hastily written notes on the
bag of tricks. What is next? And it's just scribbled like big blade,
bees,
sinky
question
water.
Mark.
Mirrors, poisoned, question mark. But still by poison. It's like, fuck.
I forgot the poison. That's how come we had to tell him it was poison.
Yeah.
Oh, this mirror is definitely poisoned. Go on. Don't you worry. It's definitely poisoned. I am an actor. This is how I dispatched Clark Gable.
Big budget Hollywood lying to us again.
I got this directly from the set of her. What was the film? Oh, Gone with the Wind.
And the Spider-Man says, oh, there's no poison in that film. So that's funny. Oh,
fuck. Okay. It's just brief. Okay. You're big man. You got him. You're big man.
So he pulls open his roof and leans in. While Spider-Man's kind of quipping, giving him shit, he leans in. He literally rips the roof open. Says,
oh, okay. Don't worry, little one. That's good. Don't worry, little one. The entertainment is not over yet. I got you.
And then the next trap works, and I think this is by pure accident.
Okay.
Because there's no way he set this shit up. These spider dragon things on the wall, these monuments that he's crawling over to get to Mysterio, they snare him.
Okay, so he's made tiny 6-inch dragon robots.
I guess. And they kind of snare him like a constrictor. And he starts panicking. He's like, okay, this is bad. This is bad. This is another bad situation. And then he realizes it doesn't matter how small I am or my life doesn't matter. I will never go down without a struggle. I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win here, but I'm not going down without a fucking fight.
I tell you what, he might be 6 inches tall, but that is big dick energy.
He did it. He pulls them claws, that body apart. He stands on top of the vanquished foe, which is now smoking, so I assume it's some kind of robot. Then Mysterio just reverts to type and just starts punching the fucking table.
Stop moving, you bastard.
I'm just checking these spy footage of Mysterio.
Yeah, there's nothing going on, boss. He's just punching a table. Yeah, I know. He hasn't moved in about 3 hours.
The boss is just like, my God, sick bastard.
My God, the stamina.
He's just like, the boss just has one tear coming down his eyes. He's just like, boss, what's the matter? He's just like, Cynthia loved mahogany tables.
Well, Spider-Man starts swinging around now. He's kind of got his courage back. He's like, I'm not going out now.
Yeah, he's just got fed a dose of, like, almost dead adrenaline.
Yeah, Mysterio's leaning over his table. Mysterio, you can tell he's in panic mode because he's really going in with the quips.
Spider-Man's, like, completely linged it from where he was just trapped. He's, like, moved to the opposite side of the table now in a couple of swings. And you can see Mysterio sort of like, oh, fuck, he's moving to the other side of the table. But it doesn't show you the awkward shuffle that Mysterio would have to do in order to get round to the opposite side of the table.
Like, breathe in. You'd have to breathe in.
Because it's so close to the garage wall. Because he can only afford, like... like, just imagine him just, like, awkwardly shuffling, like, with his cape getting in the way and everything.
So, I'm just reviewing this. Again, I'm just reviewing this footage of Mysterio. I mean, if you want to go for him, if you want to get him, he's stuck. He's stuck behind the table. You can just see him, like, exasperated, like, fucking... the bowl on his head's, like, clamming up.
Mysterio's like, defeated by my own cape.
A man should never be defeated by his own girth.
Well, yeah, again, he's in panic mode. He's giving the quips. He's really trying to make Spider-Man seem like he's crazy. He's like,
oh, this is hopeless. It's hopeless, isn't it? You know, you're doomed. Why don't you get crazy? Well, that'd be a good idea. Why don't you crack? Or beg for mercy or something like that. And, you know, you're small. I'm big. I think this shouldn't happen, right?
Meanwhile, Spider-Man is literally just, like, running away.
Yeah, Spider-Man says, you know, I genuinely don't give a shit anymore.
He's going down anyway. I don't give a shit. It's just happening.
He realizes, okay, something's up, but then he cottons onto the fact that Mysterio's really confused. Like, Mysterio doesn't even know what's going on.
Like Mysterio was sure that Spider-Man would have got by now.
Yeah, and Spider-Man knows that he can win now, but he just needs to figure out what the fuck is going on. That's it.
To just put the pieces together, yeah?
Because he knows he's living. He's not dying. Like, he could be there the rest of his life. Mysterio is never going to get him.
Just like the table's just smithereens. Just Spider-Man still dodging.
Quick diversion to the house of George Stacy, who has been waiting for the call of Joe Robertson. As he picks up the phone, Gwen Stacy moves in and says, oh, is it Peter? Because I've been waiting for him because I love him, you know?
That boy is full of beans and milk.
But Gwen, I've got another man. Another man who's top of my list, and that's Joe Robertson. He's a big Spider-Man fan like me. Loves him. Oh, he gives it up. obviously, it's 1960s. He doesn't know who's on the phone till he picks it up. And, of course, it's Joe Robertson asking about Spider-Man.
Yes, my favourite subject.
Joe Robertson literally starts the phone call. Well, you haven't heard of Spider-Man or Mysterio. And George Stacy says, no. He says, okay. That's it.
George Stacy's just like, oh, yeah, this must be Robbie because he's the only black person to have phoned me. So this must be him.
Well... Robertson's there. He hangs the phone up. Weirdly, his son comes in to the room.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why he's done this. But his son comes in and says, hi, Dad, have you got a minute? And Joe's saying, hi, Randy. So the kid's name is Randy Robertson.
That's... Oh, Stan the man. Why? Why would you do... Why is it everything repetition with you? Anyhow.
Well, he hangs up the phone and says, you know... My son's here. I gotta go. He says, what's on your mind, man child? And I thought, okay, that's a great way to speak to your son. Your son who is clearly troubled. He's coming.
So
he wants to speak to you. He's upset. He's upset and you're fucking calling him this Mary Jane alliteration. I've always got time for my outrageous offspring. What's on your mind, man child?
It's like he got super hip all of a sudden.
I mean, Dad, ever since the vulture dropped a load of pricks on you, you've been really strange.
Meanwhile, he's smoking weed in that pipe. You know he is.
Well, Randy's come to speak to him. He doesn't know about the school he wants to go to, the university. He thinks about Empire State University. He doesn't really know if that's the school for him. And that's his kind of problem, is he's confused about his future. So they're there speaking about that for some reason. I don't know. Maybe Randy is going to be a character from that one. I don't know.
A bit of foreshadowing, maybe. Or maybe just rounding out. Sorry. Maybe just helping round out Robert.
Yeah, it seems a bit glommed on. It just seems like, oh, here you go. In this really important issue where Spider-Man's getting his ass kicked. Like, here you go.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, these last couple of issues, there's just been these tangents that have come like way out of left field.
I mean, they're good because it's what we missed in the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine. When we diss them, we know that we miss them when they're gone.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. See, I've always got a nice little thing to say, but that's all it is. He's confused about his future and he wants to speak to his dad. Let's get back to Spider-Man.
Yes.
Mysterio moves in to finish Spider-Man by throwing a big knife at him. It's a real man-sized knife.
That is a prop. That is a machete.
And he's trying to kind of give Spider-Man the beans here. Spider-Man's not falling for it. He says, "You've just fucking rigged this up, you joker. I see right through you." So Mysterio picks up this knife and he goes, "Oh, you think it's a joke, do you? Okay." He chucks a knife at him. He says, "Oh, touch it then. Touch the fucking knife. Do it.
You know
it's
what?
A real knife."
I've got to give props to Mysterio because he's got the big enough balls to think that he was going to hit a 6-inch Spider-Man with a knife from afar. That's like confidence for days, man.
Spider-Man's fed up of Mysterio's bullshit, so he says, "I'm going to figure this out later. I'm just going to hit him."
He's going to go for him.
So he gets on this knife and uses it as a springboard to go for Mysterio's head.
Just fucking lord.
Mysterio, you got to remember, is like about 10 foot taller than him.
Oh, yeah, he's got right in the air.
Spider-Man swings at him through the knife and says, "I'm coming at you. If I'm really this small, you're just going to stay there and hit me. But if you disappear, I know you're a bullshitter."
Oh, man, Spider-Man with an all or nothing ultimatum.
And then he goes straight through him because, of course, Mysterio disappears. It proves he's right. He's gone in a puff of cloud. And Spider-Man's on the ball. He looks around and he's just like, "What the fuck?"
I was about to say, he doesn't really do a very great job of explaining this. Like, it would have been great for Spider-Man to have literally been on the wall and just been like, "Oh shit, there's nothing here." Instead, it's like pure thought bubbles with like the tiniest little panel of him just clinging to a piece of metal.
Yeah, so he jumps onto this wall as a metal girder, and then he looks around and he says, "Oh, this, of course, was post-hypnotic suggestion. He made me look at the table, then knocked me out with the laser. It planted it in my mind that I was in the amusement park." So he was just literally in the corner of the room, just fucking swinging at nothing. Like, that's the funniest thing.
So, like
he wasn't even in the amusement park.
I got it. You know the geezer that's looking at the CCTV and Mysterio shuffling around the table?
Oh, it's like the end of the Blair Witch with Spider-Man in the corner staring at the wall.
No, it'd just be Spider-Man doing like Mac from Always Sunny, like in the corner, whilst Mysterio just sort of stands.
Mysterio got pinned behind the table. He had nothing else to do, so he hypnotized him. This is very funny.
Oh, I'd pay to see that CCTV.
Because the thing is, our proposition here is realistic enough because Mysterio is bad. He's crap.
Oh, yeah,
he's
so
really
bad.
Cool, and he has a really good ability to do things, but he always balls his up.
The execution's always terrible, but that's just because Spider-Man's so smart. If he's to do it on lesser intelligent superhero, probably get away with it.
So I don't know about the execution, whether Mysterio made the table big, there was a big table coming, or he was just literally swinging in the corner of his room. There's a lot of funny things here to consider. All we know is that Spider-Man turns, sees a light, and thinks, "I'm going to go towards this light on top of this tower." He gets on top of this tower, rips the roof off, and inside is Mysterio. And then he knows, oh, okay, the same size as me now, so I'm just going to, you know, you can't even save yourself now. I'm
just going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass.
Come here, Spock.
It's all in that, all of this an illusion. Spider-Man's punches are very real.
Oh, very, very real.
Yeah. Spider-Man just beats the shit out of him.
And the other thing is Quentin Beck is just... he's just a regular guy. He's just a
scrawny nerd.
He's just a schmo. So imagine a big spider punch like that, man.
Yeah, kicking his ass, and he just beats him. He says, "Oh, it's good you've got the helmet on because I could just hit you as hard as I can."
just that again. But this time it's on the dome.
Yeah, literally punches him, takes his helmet off, gets him, and makes him burn his costume.
Good. That's exactly what needs to be done. That's probably a better punishment than putting him in jail. Although, that being said, the next panel is fucking excellent. It's so good. Like Spider-Man tells him to burn his shit, like whilst he's holding by his shoulder like a scorned child.
Yeah. And like, then look at what you've done.
And then in the next panel, he's left him on like one of them swing amusement park rides. he's just dangling there like the sad kid at the park.
He's honestly not even tied him up or anything, has he? He's just put him there.
He's just like, you sit there on that swing and you think about what you did.
So what I can gather is that Spider-Man was hypnotized by the small table. Then he was brought to a real amusement park.
Yes,
that's what I can gather. But it is very funny to imagine that both of them were stuck in the garage.
That's like, I'm hearing what you're putting down. And the comic does suggest that he is in a life-sized park, but I know my truth.
Spider-Man swings away over a protest, which is there, foreshadowing, I guess. He swings over the protest, says, oh, it's a demonstration. I've dealt with all this shit. This doesn't concern me. I'm going home. This protest doesn't concern me. And you literally get the narrator say, next, Spidey gets involved. What do you mean? Like he's getting involved in the protest.
0 to 100 real quick.
Honestly, do you know when at the start of It's Always Sunny and it says,
yes, yeah.
I'm not getting involved in that protest. And then Spider-Man gets involved in a protest. Yeah,
every fucking time.
And Brad, that's how it ends. I need your thoughts.
That was a genius episode.
Okay.
As soon as I see Mysterio getting involved, I know it's going to be a banger.
We got 50-odd minutes out of that.
Oh, what a prediction.
That's incredible, considering that I read that comic in about 3 minutes.
I can see why, but when you bring it to me, we got to savour it.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's the way to go. I've enjoyed it, Brad. If you've liked the podcast, we'd love to hear off your review. Don't give us a 1-star one, please.
Yeah, we're kind of going to need more 5 stars to balance it out because we're looking at a strong 4 at the moment.
Yeah, we're looking at a strong 4. Give us a nice review. We'd love to hear off you. If you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear off you. You can find us at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. And again, we would love to hear off you. We'll try and make it more consistent, but work gets in the way. That's Brad. I'm James. Find us at Spidey Podcast. And we'll be back soon with another episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man.
Where Spider-Man gets involved.
Get involved. Goodbye.